calling their representatives and telling them they want federal employees to have better laws protecting whistleblowers.
Well, we're going to leave it there. We want to thank Michael and Stephen Cohen for being with us, as well as Bunny Greenhouse, the whistleblower who has won. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, July 25th. The Stony Brook Film Festival will continue at the Stoller Center for the Arts, and David Honeyboy Edwards will be at B.B. King's in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Your concert billboard for Tuesday, July 26th. The Stony Brook Film Festival will continue at Stoller Center for the Arts at Stony Brook University campus. Charles Bradley and the Menahan Street Band will be at the Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn, New York. This is your WUSB concert billboard for Wednesday, June 27th. The Stony Brook Film Festival will continue at the Stoller Center for the Arts on the Stony Brook University campus. Mary Lamont will be at the Common Ground in Sayville at 7 p.m. And Josh Joffin will be at the Harborfront Park in Port Jefferson, New York at 6:30 p.m. That's today's concert billboard. Tune in every day to hear where your favorites are playing, or maybe to try something different. The online concert billboard at WUSB.fm has schedules for the months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. And look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook, where there are often some last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
~15 seconds of outro music, really? Well, it was nice. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And as promised, this will be the program where we finally finish the whole Starbucks thing. But I wanted to pop on before all that to say a few words about what's been going on in the world and involving our friends over in Norway. And I do mean our friends, because every time I go over there, it's such an incredible place. People are so open and warm and friendly and diverse. Yeah, that's something that really really bugged the guy that went on the rampage last week. And for those of you who aren't paying any attention to the world events and for some reason tune into this show, or for those of you in the future that are listening to this show in the past and wondering just what I'm talking about, I'm referring to what I think is the greatest mass killing by one person, at least in one afternoon, that I can think of. And in a place where you just don't expect that kind of a thing. And I think that might actually be a key to a lot of this, is that Norway is such a peaceful society where such a thing like this is unheard of. But it can happen. It can happen anywhere. And I think that's what we have to take out of this, is that this kind of atrocity can always happen. We're never completely safe from it. No matter how many walls we build, how many guns we have, how many police are on the street, we're never completely safe from one person who has a very determined agenda. And that's something that I noticed from the beginning. I was actually watching Al Jazeera when this was unfolding, and they were talking to a guy. I don't know who this guy was. One problem with Al Jazeera is they don't identify people enough and explain why they're giving them so much airtime. They were talking to some British guy who was explaining how this is definitely an Al-Qaeda operation and how one person could not possibly do something like this. And it seemed logical at the time that, yeah, okay, one person bombing the street in front of where the prime minister's office was, and then going on a shooting rampage and mowing down a bunch of kids on an island, had to be more than one person. But when you think about it, how hard is it really to organize something like that? You basically get the fertilizer. Timothy McVeigh was able to do that. Any farmer can do that. Anybody who figures out what you have to go through to get fertilizer and put it together in explosive form, which is not that difficult to do if you really put your mind to it. Okay, that's done. You park the car, you set a timer, you take a boat over, you have your automatic weapons, you mow everybody down. One person can easily do that. One person can always easily do something like this. And the thing that I noticed, which is particularly distressing here, is that people are loath to use the word terrorist when it involves Christian fundamentalism. They will always do that when it's Islamic fundamentalism, but when you have ultra-right-wingers in this country or in another country, even if they're just acting on their own, if they're acting on their own, of course, they're a lone wolf, but you never hear that expression used towards a suicide bomber that just decided to blow themselves up. Whether or not they're affiliated with a group, whether or not a group decides to claim some kind of allegiance. And there are many people claiming allegiance, not to the actions of this guy. And I'm tempted to say lunatic, but he's not a lunatic. He's not a lunatic. He thought everything out very carefully. He just has very disturbing ideas and conclusions, as do many people, and he unfortunately translated that into action. Actually, I was going through some mail that came in over the last couple of days, and I see a lot of similarities. I see a lot of people saying things that planted in the minds of people who believe that they have to do something about it can result in these kinds of situations. And it's tricky because obviously freedom of speech is extremely important, something we cannot give up. But you also have to recognize the signs when people are planting ideas in other people's heads that lead to violence, lead to massacres. And we've seen that in Europe for quite some time with the anti-immigration lobby and increasing nationalism in various places. That kind of thing has to be recognized for what it is and rejected. And we have to move on. Here's a piece of email that I got a couple days ago. It's called Slimy Obama Breaks the Law. And yeah, you know, I laugh at this. But there are other people who don't laugh at this that really think that they've got to do something. Listen to these points that this organization is making about Obama. He single-handedly destroyed the economy. Good job. Yeah, single-handedly. He has passed more socialist schemes than FDR. He rammed Obamacare down our throats. He threw Israel and our other allies under the bus. He started a war in Libya without the approval of Congress or the American people. He violates the Constitution over and over again. He disrespects our military. He thinks the American people are foolish and that he knows better. He has made us the laughingstock of the world. He has destroyed our future and our children's future. Now, sure, people have the right to say these kinds of things, and they should have the right to say these kinds of things, but we also have to recognize that left unanswered, these kinds of statements can fester and turn into a cancer that turns normal people into raving lunatics. And in a sense, that's happened to us in this country on a wide scale. We've seen changes in the way we deal with security, the way we deal with privacy, the way we deal with so many things that we used to value so much, and we're ready to give them up. Because, well, in this post-9/11 world, you have to. And that's something that I think Norway is going to get right. I see the reaction of the people there, and I see them standing up and saying, you know what, we are not going to be terrorized. We are not going to change. In this country, the debate would already be on about why weren't there any guns on the island? Why didn't the kids weren't they all armed? Yeah. And various things like that. It's something that is not part of their culture, something they do not want. And if they were to change and become all prepared for anything, as so many people around here seem to be doing, that changes who you are. Fundamentally. You become a lot more like the people you're battling. And you wind up losing. And what we touched upon before, how easy it is to do something like this. It really is frightfully easy. There's a reason why it doesn't happen all the time, because people don't do this kind of thing. It's unusual, it's bizarre, it's something that, fortunately, we have instincts against doing. But we can learn a lot from the way that that they're reacting over there, as far as just determining to keep doing what they're doing because it works, because that's who they are, that's what they value, that's what matters to them. And I just wish we had that kind of fortitude here. Instead of simply arming ourselves more and more in a defensive and offensive posture, making it so we have metal detectors in schools, so that we have barricades in front of buildings, so that more and more parts of this land are off limits, so that we agree to being searched and tested and examined over and over again. That's not worth it. And let's hope that Norway learns from us, learns from our mistakes. And I think it's bringing people together in ways that, well, this guy probably hates. I see people of all different backgrounds joining in the morning. And the unfortunate reality is that a lot of those kids on the island were of different ethnicities, different backgrounds. And that's probably what fueled him more than anything else. And we have to recognize the signs. We have to recognize when people are preaching hatred and divisiveness. I saw this when I was traveling cross country down in Texas, and that was part of last week's program, in fact. Just the divisiveness, the hatred, the suspicion of Mexicans and Muslims too, but mostly Mexicans because there's more of them down there. And how that kind of thing leads to people taking matters into their own hands and making very bad decisions. And how is that, how are these actions? I mean, Oklahoma City, the Gabrielle Giffords shooting, Columbine, how are these acts not terrorist acts? They put terror in the hearts of people. They make us change who we are. They make us change the direction that we're going. And it's, we all suffer as a result. And there are so many instances like that going on a day-to-day basis. Every time some lunatic opens fire in a crowd, it makes us more afraid. It makes us change who we are because we believe that's the only way we can react to something like that. And I think what we have to do is simply stand our ground, insist that we're not going to go down that road, and look for the signs. Look for the signs of people being led into this hatred where they feel that this is the only way out, that this is actually an acceptable solution. It never is. So, yeah, our hearts go out to people in Norway, and we'll be watching to see how things turn out. But obviously that's not the theme of the show tonight. It's something I wanted to step out and talk about a little bit. We have part three of the cross-country trip to get to that in just a couple of moments. I wanted to read actually some letters that we've gotten. We've gotten a lot of good letters recently. I'm thrilled about this. It's always great to get decent mail from listeners because it means we have listeners for one thing, and that's always good to know. Our email address, otw@2600.com. We got this piece of mail, actually, came in about a week or so ago. And it's actually not about this show. It's about a show that we've been airing from the past called The Voice of Long Island. That's when I read part of this letter. It comes from Australia. Dear Emmanuel, I've been listening to your archive of The Voice of Long Island shows for the past few years now. Just yesterday, I listened to the final show of April 16th, 1983. And I'd like to take a moment to reflect on the journey which you have shared with us, both on the air and today, almost 30 years later. So much information passes over the airwaves around the world every day. What you have captured in your recordings is such a fantastic window into the past, politically, culturally, and technologically. I have listened in awe to Mike and Eric's adventures with the telephone systems of the world, learning and reaching out to lands abroad with the assistance of the ever-so-helpful operator. Your shows awoke such a broad range of emotions in myself and friends alike. In particular, listening to your accounts of the beginnings of the space shuttle program with the first launch in April of 1981, right through to reportings of the status of the Challenger crew in orbit in 1983. And while such recordings initially can be depressing, even voyeuristic in the case of Challenger, it's such a motivational tool to hear the original aspirations of a project and the dreams it instilled in a society, strikingly so now that it has come full circle. Political coups, presidential speeches, exploding sewers caused by dog food companies, there was never a dull night. Accompanied by some of the best music of the time, my music library has since expanded considerably. Though illustrating how drastically our society has changed, you've also shown how profoundly we are still the same. We still have many of the same problems, the same fears, the same dreams, and the same desire to explore and learn about the world in which we live. Until the mention of a year would occur, many a time I would forget I was even listening to a recording from the early 1980s, even instinctively wanting to pick up the phone to answer a question you had asked the listeners. I'd like to thank you, Eric and Mike, Eric, by the way, as well as all the other people at WUSB who made the show possible, for sharing such an amazing journey with us, and more importantly, for having the foresight to keep a record of your shows for future generations to enjoy. Well, that was all Mike that did that. He brought his cassette recorder in every night because we didn't have one here at the station, and he recorded all the shows, or most of them anyway. I am sure that you would never have imagined at the time that your words would be heard 30 years in the future by people all around the world. Actually, you know what? We sort of imagined that our words would be heard by people in outer space or creatures in outer space because, you know, the signal just keeps going. And so we figured in 30 years, you know, maybe somebody on Neptune or something would be listening. But no, we never thought this would happen. Anyway, we're all still hoping that you may someday track down Oscar's all-night kosher deli. Yeah, we used to call overseas operators and get them to try look up the number for Oscar's all-night kosher deli in all different cities around the world. And it was free. It didn't cost anything. Anyway, here's to keeping the airwaves free and open for generations to come. Signed, Josh. Josh, thanks for that amazing letter. You also asked a couple of questions. Listening to the end of the Voice of Fisher's Island, which is what we entitled the last program because we had taken a trip to this mysterious island off the coast of Long Island known as Fisher's Island, He says the show ended like the show normally would. I gather that was not, in fact, the last Voice of Long Island show. When did the program actually end? Well, I think, and this is from my memory, I think the program ended that summer. It had to have ended that summer because I was doing a different program in the fall, and I know Mike had moved to Philadelphia at that point. So we did have a few more shows after that. I think they weren't recorded. I think that's why we don't have them online. We didn't expect that show to be the last one. And yes, you're right. From the way we were talking, we expected to be back the week afterwards. Second question. It seemed the Tripods ended abruptly during its run. Were any more shows ever made? That's interesting because, yes, it did end abruptly. There were a couple more episodes that for some reason didn't make it onto tape. And I don't think there are copies in existence anywhere on the planet. And that really bums me out. But I can say that there is a reunion show that we'll be posting sometime soon. It's from 1987, and we did do one more episode of the Tripods that sort of looks in on them a few years later. So you have that to look forward to. Plus, there's another reunion show that took place in 1990, and we even have video from that, but that's a whole other kettle of fish. Anyway, Josh, thanks so much for writing that letter. It made a lot of us very happy here at the radio station, knowing there are listeners out there not only listening to the present day, but listening to what we have from the past. And those of you who want to hear that show, it's all up online, all at broadcast quality, or cassette quality anyway, www.2600.com/voli. That's spelled V-O-L-I for Voice of Long Island. Here's a letter from Douglas. Manuel, I just wanted to drop you a quick line. You asked what folks do when lightning strikes close to the car while driving. Well, first off, it's relatively safe inside a car, and if you're in a thunderstorm, it's wise to stay in it until you can seek better shelter. It's no shelter for a hurricane or tornadoes, however, so in those cases, read the manual, which I did not have. Anyway, I've personally experienced close strikes many times. I do a lot of exploring in my home province. I've been standing within a few meters of trees and utility poles that have been struck, and that is described by only one word, terrifying. On one such occasion, I was blinded and heard nothing but an intense ringing in my ears and did not recover fully from this for several days. I'm okay now, if anyone is wondering. But back to the driving. Here's three scenarios that do happen. A person gets a fright by a close strike and jolts the steering. accidents can happen this way. I've witnessed a minor one where a van ended up wedged between a fence and a tree. No one got hurt. Also, the driver is temporarily... Did you hear that? It's like 50 people outside. We should keep it down already. Sorry. the driver is temporarily blinded. In this case, an accident is likely unless you have the presence of mind and the right circumstances to carefully come to a safe stop. Flash and thunder happen so fast that you don't even realize that the strike was right next to you. This is scenario number three. This has happened to me while driving numerous times. You have to stay calm in such a situation. Situation number four. The car is disabled by a nearby strike. This is the one that nearly killed me. I'll admit I was driving at an excessive speed through this particular storm, and that part is my fault. When lightning struck a road sign about a meter from my passenger door, my car shut itself down. Boy, this sounds familiar. No engine, no electrical, and only one pump of the brakes before I learned that there was power required to maintain pressure and functionality in that system, too. Not smart to design a system like that. Worse, with the without the engine running, the steering wheel locked itself as soon as I tried to turn. Locked into a gentle left turn, I was soon facing a hard right. With the handbrake on fully for easily 50 meters, I still plowed straight through a steel guardrail, and I was extremely lucky to hit a large rock. A few meters left or right, and I would have gone off a 17-meter drop into the ocean. I learned afterwards that the whole incident was due to a microcontroller being fried, disabling everything in the car but the handbrake, seatbelts, and airbags. If I'd been driving a car that didn't rely on a computer so heavily, I might not have ended up in the hospital that night. But I thank my lucky stars for the bits of good fortune that kept me alive. Anyway, hope the fundraising on the other show goes well. Hope to hear your show again soon. Thanks, Dumas, for that amazing letter as well. And finally, one more. Good time for this one. Let's see. I'm from Northampton, Massachusetts. I've been a listener of the podcast version of both Off the Wall and Off the Hook for the past 4 years or so. Big fan of the programs. Hold a great appreciation for the hacker community in addition to the medium of radio. I've enjoyed reading Dear Hacker. I was able to attend the Next Hope conference last summer, and it was definitely a memorable experience to say the least. I'd like to thank you for the insight and entertainment your shows have provided me, and thought with the most recent episode last week, it would be a good time to chime in. I found the last two episodes of the show particularly interesting as you document your trip across the country. The most recent airing featured your death-defying trip through that storm in Arkansas. almost purely by coincidence, and as you might have established by the email address this is sent from, I'm attending Stony Brook University starting this fall as a prospective atmospheric science major. Wow, they give you the email address before you start attending. That's kind of cool. And the other thing that's kind of cool about that, people come to Stony Brook for all different reasons. Some people, like me, major in English. Some people major in engineering. Some people major in atmospheric science. People major in Russian. Some people major in football and basketball. Well, it's true. They do. They do. Why not call it what it is? But people come here for all different reasons, and that's what makes Stony Brook an amazing place. Anyway, as such, getting to hear you describe mind-blowing lightning for 30 minutes was probably more interesting to me than the average listener. My best guess as to why you were unable to hear the thunder accompanying the lightning is due to the fact that the storm itself may have been many miles in the distance, but due to the flat nature of the terrain and the magnitude of the storms, which are characteristic of this region, it may have appeared much closer. The simplest explanation for why these states see such severe weather is that cold and dry air masses from central Canada collide with warm, humid air from the Gulf of Mexico. And the collision of these two fronts are what creates the perturbed atmospheric conditions leading to thunderstorms and possibly tornadoes. Oh, yeah, you picked the right major there. Atmospheric science, definitely, man. that's what you got to do with that kind of passion for explaining this. Sorry if that was a bit drab, and I don't think it was drab at all, and I trust our listeners did not as well. I'm a big fan of your work, really excited that I'll be interacting possibly as a student at Stony Brook. Maybe I'll get to work at WUSB someday. Thanks, Aaron, for that amazing letter. And yeah, you know what? You should work for WUSB. I happen to know that we have alternative weather on the radio sometimes. It's not weather that's not happening or different different kinds of weather. It's basically weather with a more scientific bent to it that's explained on the radio. And I think that's something that a lot of people benefit from here at the radio station. And it's just great to see that kind of interest. Anyway, thanks so much to everybody for writing those letters. Keep writing them. It's great to see them. OTW@2600.com. OTW off the wall. It's such a commotion. What in the world is... Oh, my God. You're back. In the studio? How are you all going to fit in here? It's... folks, for those who don't know, these are the dancers are back in the country. I heard that you had... they're not even looking at me. You gotta be really, really careful. That's what I was afraid of. Okay, that wasn't too expensive. Good. Oh, well, I guess... I guess you guys are here... maybe turn it down a little bit. You guys are here for the... final Starbucks thing tonight, where I actually go to the Starbucks in California, and I have a recording of that. Really, there's a lot of equipment on. Yeah, just with those dresses whirling around like that, it's trying to prevent things from actually. Let's move that tape deck over. Oh, hope Frank's not listening to this. Is this an extended dance? We really are on a tight schedule, so would be. Yeah, I could use some help in here. Oh boy! Oh boy! Very nice, very nice. Oh! That comes out of my pocket, you know. Quite figure out why we have dancers for this in the first place. Except to clear out all the things that are breakable in the studio and, oh my goodness, listen to this. Oh. The big finish. Okay, great, guys. It's great to see you again. I'm so happy you're back in the country. I wish we had more time for this. But as you can see, we really have to get moving, and maybe no, we don't have time for another piece. Please, guys, no, stop, people. I'm serious. Yo. Okay. Out in the hallway. You can do whatever you want out there. Just, yeah, file out in the hallway and, yeah, and we have to play this piece. It's important that, okay, I don't mean to yell. I don't mean to be, all right. Yeah, it's just, it's a high-pressure situation here. And we've got a lot to do, a lot of ground to cover. And a lot of things to clean up, too. Thank you for that. You know, this is really it. This is not going to happen anymore after tonight. It's good to see them again, but really, the amount of damage that has been caused by this is just unbelievable. Okay, so where we left off last week, I was, where was I? I was at the border in Texas. Was that where I was? Yeah, okay, I was in the border at Texas, and looking at the fence, imagining what Mexicans have to go through, and of course, the storm in Arkansas. So at this point, we pick up the action in California, the state where the Starbucks that I actually was chosen to go to exists, Newport Beach. And the thing, the way that happened, in case you didn't tune in last year, we started with a list of over 10,000 Starbucks, I think. And we basically did a randomization every single week until we brought it down to a small number. And The last two were, I believe, San Diego and Newport Beach, California. They're both in California, which is incredible, considering some were in Dubai and Edmonton and Paris and places like that. But it wound up being in California, and so that meant that I actually had to go to California. Yeah, I would have gone to the ends of the earth to fulfill this mission, but I simply tied it into my cross-country trip driving my friend's car. Across the nation. All right, so we're going to pick up. Yeah, maybe just go in the conference room. We can have a drink or something afterwards. So we're going to pick up here. This is on a train, actually, from San Diego to Newport Beach. And this is with someone you might have heard on the radio before named Auto Jack. He's been on Off the Wall, Off the Hook a couple of times a few years ago. And he happens to live in San Diego, so he knew enough not to miss this opportunity to see history in action. So let's pick up the journey now on a train. Yes, an actual train that we have in this country from San Diego up north. So anyway, we're here on the train heading north from San Diego, eventually towards Newport Beach, where the ceremonies for the first visit to Starbucks. I still can't believe, really, we're going to this much trouble and that there's actually people meeting us there, but apparently this is a big deal. I'm here with Auto Jack, who you may have heard on the radio show before, years ago.
Hello.
Thank you for meeting me out here and for showing me onto a train, which is like actually a train, a real train, unlike everywhere else I've been on this trip so far. I tried to take a train to California from Arizona, but it's really difficult finding one. Some cities only have trains that leave three times a week, and they're all sold out, but they don't have more trains to, like, fill that with. So, I mean, this is the first time that it actually, you know, it's like civilization.
I don't know if you would call this civilization.
Compared to what I've been through, I don't mean to put it down. I don't mean to put down like what I've, because there's, you know, so many nice people wherever I've been, and there's nobody I met that was not helpful and friendly and all that kind of thing. But just like, you know, some of the lack of choice and some of the opinions that I just hear nonstop on the radio, it gets to you after a while, and you just sort of want to rebel. And also, coming over here, we constantly getting stopped by Border Patrol when you don't pass a border. That just rubs me the wrong way. I had to take a Greyhound bus to San Diego, and we were boarded twice. Well, I didn't know that was the norm, that you could get inspected without even going into Mexico, but apparently you can. But the thing that really bugged me, this happened to me once in the car when I was in New Mexico, but it also happened twice in California, and supposedly it happens in Arizona as well. what happened to me in the car, they basically just asked, are you a U.S. citizen? And there was this dog who was sniffing my car, allegedly for drugs or something, or maybe for refugees, I don't know. On the bus, though, it was different. There was no dog, so it wasn't about drugs, it was about immigration. And basically, there were three immigration officers, and they just went up and down the aisle asking people if they were American citizens. And both times, I just said yes, and that was it. I didn't have to do anything else. Okay, fine, you know, and I intentionally did not have ID ready because I was never told that I had to carry ID on me, and I wanted to see how far that this would go, where I was being, you know, ID was being demanded from me in my own country. But no, just saying, yes, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen was enough. But what I found out very quickly was it's not enough if you're not white. If you look Hispanic, then you're asked for more documentation. They speak very good Spanish, by the way. But they expect people who they, I guess, don't believe right away to have all this documentation. And there were a couple of people who didn't, and they were taken off the bus. And we actually waited a long time. One person came back, one person did not. So I just wonder, you know, somebody traveling without ID, which I never thought was an issue before, what happens to them? It just rubs me the wrong way. But these are things, you know, you notice when you travel across the country. And I'm sure you would have the same observations.
I have zero observations.
Oh, that's not true. but anyway, so what we're doing now is we're heading up to the Starbucks thing in Newport Beach. It's interesting, too, because the runner-up was in San Diego. We didn't get to see it because it was far away in San Diego. But I just thought that was kind of bizarre that of like over 10,000 Starbucks that we started with last year, the final two were within miles of each other. And I wound up in the city of the second place finisher. But like I said before, nobody cares about second place. It's all about first place. And that's where we're heading. We're heading to the winner, Newport Beach. And we're meeting some other people there. And actually, there might even be more people that are going to be there.
Well, there was some question as to whether the Starbucks in Newport Beach actually existed, and there was a possibility that we may have had to go to the second runner-up.
There was some panic last night, yes, as we had assistants looking for us, and I guess we just didn't. No offense, but we just didn't hire the right people to like do the research because they were saying they couldn't find it, and we had to like look ourselves and call them and say, okay, do you exist? And they said, yes, we do exist, and dispelled that rumor. So we're taking them on their word, and we're heading up, and we're going to follow some not too complicated directions, I hope, and then this will be over. You know, can you believe it? It's actually going to be over. I'll be going to walk into this place. I don't know what's going to happen after that. There's going to be camera crews, I hear. In fact, you even had a guy from Fox News who was interested in this.
Yeah, I have a neighbor who is a, I think he's
Emmy award-winning neighbor.
Yeah, he's Emmy award-winning. He just won two daytime Emmys for investigative reporting or something like that.
In case people think we're making this up. I mean, I wish we were making this up, but this is all true. Everything you've heard in the last year or so, it's been a year and a half. It's been totally true.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're now arriving at Oceanside. The stop is Oceanside. Here's all handrails coming down the stairs. Be prepared for exiting. This is Oceanside.
In case you thought we were making up about the train, no, we weren't making that up either. It's all real. Yeah, it's a big deal. But I just, you know, I kind of wonder what's going to happen afterwards. It's going to be anticlimactic, you know. Is it going to be like, okay, will I walk through a Starbucks in the future and not get greeted, you know, and not have people think it's a big deal? I worry about that, you know. Will I just be treated like a normal person? And that's my biggest fear.
Well, personally, I've been in many Starbuckses.
I think it's Starbucks.
Starbucks.
I don't think you add an E. I don't know. It's got so much I have to learn, but I don't. I'll ask them that.
Right. So, yeah, I've been in many Starbucks. And
what kind of birds are those? I'm sorry. I don't mean to. Those are huge birds on the ocean there.
Oh, those are actually bats.
Those are not bats. Those are huge birds. They really are big. They're not seagulls, but they're large.
Okay, I don't know what they are.
Could be falcons or...
Can we stay on topic?
Yeah, please? Well, they're huge birds, all right? I'm watching, like...
Once again, now arriving in Oceanside.
We're still on the train. Go ahead.
Oh, soon we'll be at the nuclear power plant, by the way.
Oh, dear. All right, well, that's something to look forward to. And we're passing another train, too.
What were we talking about?
You would, well, before the birds, see, this is what happened.
I was talking about Starbucks and how I've been in
Right,
Starbucks.
And you were pronouncing it wrong. Go ahead.
Right. I've been in the Starbucks. several times, and I've been treated with respect, and personally, I don't like Starbucks coffee that much, but...
Okay, keep your voice down. People are looking.
I don't care if they're looking at me.
Well, I'm just saying, you can't just go and say that you don't like Starbucks coffee on the West Coast like that, can you?
Well, this isn't Seattle.
I know it's not Seattle, but many people say San Diego is similar to Seattle.
I've heard that too, but I've never been shot for talking about how I don't like Starbucks coffee. I think their coffee is too bitter. But beyond
I think
that,
you might be too bitter, but we can look into that later.
Beyond that, the experience of being in a Starbucks coffee shop is, it's all right. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I don't think you'll be...
Please, gentlemen, last call for Oceanside. Doors will be closing, staying clear.
I never heard a train conductor say last call. It usually is reserved for bars.
Well, it's because everyone here is drunk.
Can I just say, we're going to step in for a second and say I'm still mortified by what happened last night. We went to a place to get food late at night. It was late. It was like after 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was very happy that we were able to do that. I was very pleased with San Diego. Nice temperature, not hot at all, and you know, people are outside at night. But I could not believe this. I had a beer at this place. And, okay, I can understand last call, 2 o'clock in the morning, kind of early, but I respect it. But, no, it's not just last call. The guy came and...
The gentleman next stop will be St. Clemente Pier, 20 minutes.
The waiter came up to me and demanded that I finish my drink by 2 o'clock. He said, okay, you've got 3 minutes to finish that. I'm like, what? I was you know, nursing. I was taking my time. And apparently the law says that not only can you have to stop serving at 2, but everybody must be completely finished by 2.
Why do you think I quit drinking?
It's very difficult to keep it up, I'll say that. So that was a lot of, he was literally standing there, and I had to chug the thing, otherwise, you know, sacrifice it.
Yeah, I actually had to sit there going, chug, chug, chug.
Yeah, that helped. That helped a lot. So anyway, I shouldn't be disappointed in Starbucks the first time. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what they do in there.
I don't think you'll be disappointed, but, you know, at the same time, I don't think you're going to be ecstatic. I think it'll probably...
Have you ever known me to be ecstatic?
I've seen you be ecstatic, sure.
Must have wiped that out of my mind.
I think I've seen you be ecstatic getting into certain modes of travel.
Uh-huh.
I've seen you be ecstatic when something exciting is going to happen.
But then it doesn't happen, and then I stop being ecstatic.
No, you know, you remember when, like, when Kevin Mitnick was released?
Yeah, and then we got sued the next day.
Yeah,
actually the same day, I think we got sued.
You were ecstatic for a moment.
Yeah. If you're watching, you might see a moment of ecstaticism, but it doesn't always last. But yeah, this might be one of those moments.
I don't think it will be.
All right, well then, we don't really have much to look forward to. But yeah, okay, so it's finally happening, and boy, I guess, you know, I can just walk into anyone anywhere now and... see what goes on. Am I going to be able to connect to the internet?
Most likely, but you may have to pay a fee. Because I think they have what's called a Starbucks hotspot or T-Mobile hotspot or something like that.
So things actually cost money in this place?
Yes, everything costs money in a Starbucks.
You see, this is something I guess I didn't bother to look into, but you have to... Okay, so the coffee isn't free.
Absolutely not.
I wish somebody had told me this. I'm totally unprepared. I just figured it was like a club or something. You just go in and, like, you know, sort of an ongoing party. So it's, how is it different than just like a regular coffee shop?
It isn't, really. I mean, except for the fact that you know what to expect when you go there. I mean, you personally don't know what to expect because you've never been there.
Clearly not.
But when you've been a denizen of a Starbucks cafe, you can pretty much assume that every single Starbucks is going to treat you the same way, and everything there is going to be exactly the same. The coffee is going to taste the same. It's going to cost the same amount. It's going to be the same portion of coffee. It's like the McDonald's of coffee.
Oh, boy. Well, now I really have something to look forward to. McDonald's of coffee. Okay, good, good. Well... So now we're passing through a nuclear plant? Has that happened already?
Very, very soon, I think we will see a nuclear power plant. The San Onofre power plant.
And it's right on top of an earthquake fault?
Well, I mean, the San Andreas fault runs right through here, so I would assume...
It's a dandy place to build a nuclear plant, then. And, of course, you got the ocean there for your tsunamis and whatever else might be coming ashore.
It's all safe.
Of course, because this is America and things don't happen to us. All
right,
well, we're going to sign off now until we get closer to where we're going. Any Any final words from you, AutoTrack? Good to hear you back on the radio, by the way.
Well, thank you. No, I'm just looking forward to seeing the expression on your face.
That says New Jersey Transit. That says New Jersey Transit. It's a New Jersey Transit train here. Why is a New Jersey Transit train in California?
That's a really, really good question.
You saw it, right?
I did see it, yeah.
What the hell, man? What the hell?
In fact, I'll come back and I'll take pictures.
Where is this? Where did we just pass?
We're at Oceanside.
Okay.
We're about to get to that's where they keep the coaster.
This is really kind of bizarre. We just passed the station, and there are... I saw the emblem. I recognize New Jersey Transit, and...
NJ.
Yeah, and there it was. It was New Jersey Transit cars right there on the track. That boy, they're out of there, out of where they're supposed to be. Why? Okay, so we have a mystery on our hands now. What are those little round buildings on the ocean there?
I don't know.
They look like... maybe telescopes or radar things.
Very similar to the nuclear power plant.
No, that's not a nuclear power plant.
No,
it's a big ball.
They do look similar.
All right, well, we're going to keep our eye for a nuclear plant and try and take cover. We'll check in a bit.
May the force be with you always.
Okay, well, that was exciting. That was the first part of the Starbucks thing. As we get rid of the mess here that the dancers left. You know, it's great. I'm going to hang out a little bit after the show and say goodbye, because honestly, I never want to see these people again. I don't want to sound nasty, but it's just been so draining to go through all this. But it's over now. It's here's the last part. We're just going to get on with that. We actually made it to the Starbucks, took the train. We got lost a little bit. We met up with some people, including a listener who was out there for this particular event. And, of course, even though we had everything all planned out, we somehow managed to walk right into controversy through a nasty security guard. But, well, you'll hear it for yourselves. And this is it. This is finally the end of the quest for Starbucks.
All right, so we're here. Oh, my God, this is, like, so exciting. I cannot even, like, begin to describe it. But we actually see the Starbucks now that I'm going to be going to. This guy is definitely here for us. I can tell. Someone is approaching. That's definitely here for the ceremony. This is the one that we're going to. Hello.
Are you excited?
You're here for the.
Oh yeah.
Come over. Identify yourself and.
Welcome.
How you doing, Emmanuel?
Matt.
You're Matt, and
here.
Are you from the area?
Yeah, I go to UC Irvine.
And you actually came all the way down here for
yeah.
the, well, not all the way down here, but close enough.
I sent you a picture of the Starbucks earlier.
I think I remember that, yeah. That was something. We got a little lost, so I don't know how long you've been waiting
for us. I apologize. Yeah.
Let me just finish introducing people. This is Will here.
Hi, how are you guys?
Will came all the way from New York for this.
I did.
And AutoJack is here. He's filming right now. He's from San Diego. And Jeff, you actually relocated here.
I did. Recent transplant from New York.
It probably made it easier to come out today if you were actually
it
already living here.
It did, though I probably would have made the trip anyway. So.
I just think it's really cool that it somehow worked out this way, that it was near where you live.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And you also caught me 2 days before I'm heading back to New York.
Yeah, usually it doesn't work that way. Usually I catch you after you've already left and
exactly.
I don't get to hang out.
Exactly.
But anyway, okay, so we're here and we just got our first glimpse of the place. We couldn't find it on Google Maps because it's in a shopping center. It's between a Ralph's and a Z Pizza, whatever that is. Wow. So is anybody else here?
No, I just came on my own.
Okay, well, that's good. I didn't want to fight a whole lot of people just to get in the door.
Yeah,
so now you listen to the radio show?
Yeah, I've been listening for like 9 years.
So. Well, I haven't been on for nine. Have I been on for 9 years? Oh, my God, I have been.
Yeah.
Started in 2003, didn't it? No, it's 8 years.
Yeah,
yeah, it's 2011.
I'm off the hook.
Off the hook as well. Okay. All right, cool. Wow. You've been inside the Starbucks?
Yeah.
And tell us something about it. What can we expect?
It's pretty standard shopping mall Starbucks.
You know, I don't know what that means. I've never been inside one.
A lot of overburned coffee.
Well, do they have any?
You have to sell the experience
yeah.
more.
Expensive equipment to make more coffee with that I don't think anybody ever buys.
Are there snacks?
Yeah, there's scones and biscotti.
Can I get a cup of tea?
Yeah.
All right.
Tea.
I won't be looked down upon for that. All right. What about Wi-Fi? Is there free Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it's free Wi-Fi.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's free.
It's free. Free as of about a year or so ago. Yeah.
Wow. This is something.
Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah.
As to what we should get?
I always get the cafe mocha.
Why is that? What's in it?
It's got chocolate in it, so it kind of covers up the burning.
I want something memorable, something that I'll take with me for the rest of my life to say, wow, this is where that taste began.
And you think the cafe mocha is it? This is the one?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I get when I come here. So, yeah.
I just want to be wired, you know. Stay for the next 3 days based on this. Okay, well, I guess before they close. They close at 8. it's like 6:30 now. We really got lost coming over here. We'll go. I wonder if they have any inkling as to what's about to happen. I've been tweeting about this, and people have been responding.
Yeah, nobody's come up to me, and I've been wearing the WSB shirt, so.
Oh, my God, you have a USB shirt on. Oh, my God, I didn't notice that. That is so cool. So we're out here in Irvine, California. No, not Irvine. We're in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
Right. Which, actually, you might know the answer to this question. Auto Jack, you had a question about, are we in Costa Mesa, or?
I think technically we're in Costa Mesa, but the address says Newport Beach. But I think we actually are in Costa Mesa.
That's pretty confusing.
Yeah.
All right, well.
They kind of blend together.
But it's really cool. You have a USB shirt out here in California, and you must have pledged support to get that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Living in Tennessee.
And we all thank you from WUSB for and all our California listeners, of which there are quite a few. So I guess we'll go in and hopefully not cause too much of a commotion. I'm sure they have a rule against filming and taping, but so what? First thing I'm going to do when I go into a Starbucks is piss them off.
There's a security guard around here, so.
What are we doing today?
Oh, what are we doing today? We're just recording a radio show, actually.
I just can't have you on the property.
On this property? Oh, we're going into Starbucks. That's all right.
Okay, but I can't have radio recordings up in here like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that, or?
It's just a company policy.
Oh, okay.
No filmings or anything like that.
All right. Thank you. We'll stop.
That's okay. I just ran out of battery.
Are you serious? You ran out of battery?
Yeah.
So you're not going to get us filmed? You're not going to get us walking inside?
I could plug in.
You know what? Sense. This is part of the story. We just won't have the video because that's cool. Don't worry about it. Although, what you could do, you could take my camera and record it that way.
I like the other idea better.
But that's fake. And we're recording, so, you know.
No, it's not fake.
I only have 27 seconds, so you're going to have to get it right the first time. What rule? I mean, it's not the first time I've come across something like this, but what possible rule is there for not recording microphone in a parking lot? I mean, who does that hurt exactly? It's so typical America. Let me know if he's on his way over here.
No, he's not. He's just staring.
Okay, cool.
Auto Jack and I can pretend like we're filming and drag it and just tell him we're actually going to go to another place.
Or have a decoy.
Yeah, and then you guys can just get your footage.
I say we just have a conversation here until he gets tired and walks away, and then we film going in.
I think he's going to be here because he's got a job.
And what if there's like a crime
he's got nothing better
takes
to do.
Place over there?
Well, now he's at the shoe repair shop.
Well, why doesn't someone go over there and shoplift something? Don't go running over, and then we'll go into Starbucks.
I grew up in...
I just want to make it into Starbucks. That's all I want to do. Really, I didn't want to cause any trouble. I just wanted to go into a Starbucks.
All right,
so we should just go inside.
Really nice.
Let's just do it.
All right, sounds good.
I'm going to record you walking in there.
Well, okay, but, you know...
Just go.
Why don't you go to Z Pizza and you can record me from afar walking in there? Where is he now? Oh, he's watching us. He's looking directly at us.
I see that.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm just going to go in.
Okay.
But I might have to come right back out to get you out of trouble. Right. Why don't we go in ourselves and you hold focus on us and then you can maybe film. Just do the best you can.
I'll take one for the team.
Yeah. Do the best you can.
It's not going to
rip. Got everything from here?
I've got everything.
Right. And I'll just try and record what I can. No, let's just try to get to the door.
Annoying little thing.
Yeah. I'm going to try to record.
You should ask him if we're allowed to take a picture.
You know, I don't want to even talk to him anymore.
Well, he's looking right at us.
I don't care.
Okay, go.
All right. I'm just going to, you know, you don't have to all go in together, but whatever. This guy's got a real bee in his bonnet. All right, here I am at the entrance to Starbucks. Coming inside, recording illegally. I'm gonna pull open the door. You guys ready? It smells like coffee. I'm in.
How do you feel?
Oh my God.
I feel cold.
I feel scared. Wow. This is really, it's small, it's tiny. I didn't expect it to be this small. You okay? Did you make it in all right?
Yeah, couldn't see anything though.
No. Well, the important thing is you pissed off the security guard.
Oh yeah, despite... he's real pissed off out there.
Well, he's not allowed in Starbucks, I don't think.
Oh, good.
Well, I don't know. Well, I can say that. I am inside a Starbucks for the first time in my life.
What do you see?
It's mostly like smell things. It's a lot smaller than I thought. Are they all this tiny?
This is pretty tiny.
This is like, Starbucks. Well, why don't we just sit in the chair and, wow, this is really kind of amazing. This is my first ever time inside Starbucks. And we did our whole randomization thing of all 10,000 Starbucks, and this is the one. And if you go to thefirststarbucks.com, you'll see that we're not just making this up. All 10,000 of them, and this is the one that won.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's something, like you said, momentous. Something that, you know.
I would definitely recommend a frappuccino. And I think the new one's pretty good. Mocha coconut frappuccino.
Oh, coconut, eh? You said mocha coconut?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sold.
Yeah, what size do you want that in?
Big.
Big?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
What do you guys call that?
Whipped cream. What the hell? Yeah, okay. Viventi. Oh, but wait a minute. Hold on. You're writing with Magic Market. A friend of mine told me to insist that I get a real cup.
Real cup.
A real cup.
For the frappuccino.
To stay here. Oh, does it not work in a real cup?
You can stay with this here.
Yeah, but he wanted me to get a real... It's important to him that I get a real cup.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. Yeah. I just can't do a venti. I can do a...
Whatever you can do in a real cup. Because he'll be livid with rage if I get a plastic cup. Yeah.
And you're a whipped cream on that,
yes. It's a special occasion.
And your name's right.
Emmanuel. Yes.
Anything else?
What do you guys want? It's on me.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want a bendy cup.
You should try and get things in regular cups, but if you can't, then as long as I get a regular cup,
Actually, I want you to do the ordering.
You want me to do the ordering?
Yeah.
Okay, but you gotta tell me what you want.
I want a venti coffee in a real cup.
A venti coffee in a real cup. All right.
I mean, he already told us.
Well, then why you ask me something he said he can't do?
Because I want you to make him do it.
Everybody, less difficult one to...
Medium coffee would be good. And I think we're going to try to get all, like, mugs to stay here.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah, you guys got to wash all the dishes, I know, but...
a little room for cream. Yeah, thanks.
What's in this frappuccino? Do we actually know? We just know the fancy name, but
it's flavored with love. Are we okay with the security guy? He's not going to come gunning for us.
No, he's not allowed.
Well, I just said that. It doesn't make it true.
He's not in here, is he?
No.
Is he really going to, like, call cops to come into Starbucks?
Well, by saying that, all he admitted to was that he's not a real cop.
If I got, like a tall and a grande, then that would be equal to a venti?
No, see, tall and a grande would be 12 plus 16, so 28. So I'd be like
a venti
and an extra cup.
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I want real cups, but I want a venti.
This is way complicated. What do you want?
Well, okay, you said you can't make a venti cup like that, right?
We do have that size.
You do have that size? Okay, well then that's what I want.
Just coffee?
I want venti coffee, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm assuming that cream and sugar is elsewhere.
Right there.
What are you getting?
I'm good.
Oh, you got to get something.
I just had some tacos.
A glass of water or something. You must mark this momentous occasion.
All right, I can get a cup.
All right, good. That's the spirit. He's looking at us. Oh, man, look, a look of death through the window there from the security guard. We're not going to make it out of here. Well, we did make it out of there, and everybody was happy ever after. And that was it. And that is it. It's over. No more talk of this ever again. I want you people to leave. I don't want to see you again. It's been fun the last year and a half, or however long this has been going on for. It's Emmanuel, LTW at 2600.com. We'll see you next week. Good night.
I never saw sunlight burn as bright. I never felt darkness the way I feel it tonight. You say getting better. You say it's all right, but I never felt darkness like I feel it tonight.
raindrops on my window. I can't tell them apart. Like a few things forgiven in my little black heart. You say it's getting better. We just never. My little black heart.